Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. It's wonderful to hear you sing. It's my pleasure to be with you as we praise God in song. I must say, there's something you learn about song leading as someone who's not a very good song leader. And that is the value of a good song leader is trust. And I tell you what I mean by that. We all kind of get nervous about our singing voice, but when we have someone that's hitting the note, we can kind of fall in there. If you ever notice, if the song leader kind of coughs or chokes or slows down, the singing stops. It's because we don't trust that leader. And I appreciate Scott very much and his able priestly service in bringing us closer to God and worshiping Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. What does that mean? Saved by salvation alone. And I toyed with calling it saved by salvation alone or for salvation alone. But because of the analogy I'm going to use, I wanted to work it this way. Have you ever heard the phrase sola fide? If you go to a cross-training place, you may have heard it mispronounced as sola fide. Solar fide. Sola fide is a Latin term. It's one of the five solas of the Restoration. Somewhere back in there in the eighth grade, you probably slept through that. It means salvation by faith alone. And we as New Testament Christians know that that doctrine is not found in the Bible. We know that we're not just a better felt than told experience away from annihilation. And once we have this irresistible grace act of the Holy Spirit, we're saved. We know the Bible does not teach that. But I'm afraid that sometimes we think of our salvation and the purpose for it as being for salvation alone. I'll tell you what I mean by that. When you think of your Christianity, I think a lot of times we think, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll be baptized. Or, I want to be a Christian, so I'll be baptized. And we think of our entire Christian experience as being saved, as salvation. And we think of that moment of salvation as being the end-all, be-all of our Christianity. Is it? Certainly we need forgiveness of sins. There's no doubt about that. Without forgiveness of sins, there is no salvation. So yes, it's important, but is it the end? I would argue to you it's just the beginning. That my salvation is not the point. Now you're sitting there going, okay, I'm confused. If I think of my Christianity and I think of salvation as the point, then I have a tendency to lay down on the job. And I don't understand why I've been forgiven in the first place. We talked in our Bible class this morning about one of the things that we needed to have was Christ-like character and that we needed to have purity. Well, the reason we have purity is because we represent a holy God. And if we are to represent a holy God, we can't do so while wallowing in sin. But it's the representing a holy God part that I want to focus on this morning. I want to talk about the fact of why are we saved in the first place? Why did God forgive our sins? Why have a church? Why have a Christian life? Is my salvation the point of my Christian life? There's no doubt we need forgiveness. There's no doubt Jesus died for our souls to be saved. But He didn't just die for us to be saved. He cleansed us of our sins so we could serve a sinless God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Like so many of the lessons that I do, and I'm sure all preachers are this way, they come out of your reading and your study. We talked about this morning about the disciples on the road to Emmaus as Jesus spoke to them. Their hearts burned within them. And we talked about the fact that when we read the scriptures, that certain phrases or lines come to us and point out, maybe they convict us of sin, maybe they encourage us, whatever the case may be. Well, there have been a couple of verses we've run across in our Bible study recently, Titus chapter 2 and this text we're going to look at in 1 Peter, that really have driven home to me this fact that we're not saved just for the sake of our salvation. We're saved for a purpose. We're cleansed for a purpose. So let's take a look at the text. 1 Peter chapter 2. I said chapter 1, forgive me. 1 Peter chapter 2. Please. Okay. Try this. One more time. There we go. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It reads like this. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. One of the things that you learn if you ever read what is known as the early church fathers, the Christians that wrote prior to AD 325, is they will refer to baptism as receiving grace. I love that phrase. They refer to baptism as receiving grace. Well, here Peter uses the word mercy, and those things could be synonymous in this case. But he's talking about people who have received mercy, who've been born again to a living hope. Who are those people? They're those of us who've been saved. They're those of us who've been born again by water and the Spirit. They're those of us who have been baptized, those of us who are Christians. We understand that language. But the point of the lesson is not in verse 10, it's in verse 9. Why are we now children of God? Why call us His children? Why make us into a holy nation and a holy priesthood? There's a reason. Did you see the reason in verse 9? In other words, this. God didn't just save us and purify us so we could be saved and purified. The Bible clearly teaches us He saved us, He purified us, He forgave us so we can do something. And that do something in 1 Peter chapter 2 is this. Look at verse 9 again. That, you see the words that and the word that halfway through the verse? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're probably like me, you're thinking of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 in that context, right? That He transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, into Jesus Christ. Who's He talking about there? Christians. Who called us God through Jesus Christ? Why did we receive mercy? Why did we receive grace? So we can tell others about God. We don't use the word proclaim a lot. You may think back to the old, what they call the town callers or the town criers. Hear ye, right? Maybe you've seen an old movie where a guy walks along the street and he's got a decree from the town council or maybe the king, and he shouts out, he says, hear ye, and he pronounces whatever proclamation there is. That's proclaiming. Well, I don't know when the last time I went down the road with a bullhorn saying, hear ye was. I don't know when the last time you did, but what does it mean to proclaim? It means tell others. Praise God. Am I doing that? Am I praising God in my life? When good things happen in my life, do I thank God? When I avoid trouble, do I thank God? When I eat, do I thank God? We partook of the Lord's Supper. Jesus blessed it and broke it. He gave thanks and then He ate. Do we do the same? Is God on our lips? If somebody knew me and were around me a lot, would they know I'm a Christian? Would they know I have a Savior? Would they know I'm grateful for my salvation? I haven't been saved just to be a bump on a log. I haven't been saved just so I can not go to hell. I've been saved and I've been purified because I've got a job to do. And that job is proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ, the Son, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit. We are saved to praise and to proclaim. Well, Titus chapter 2 is the other verse that this lesson is built around. And we studied this in our Wednesday night Bible study a couple of weeks ago. And notice the same idea here. Our salvation is for a purpose. Our purifying is for a purpose. We're in Titus chapter 2. Let me get turned over there. We're going to look at verses 11 through 14. This is actually kind of it's interesting that this verse, I told somebody in the middle of the week, sometimes God is just telling you something. Sometimes God is telling you need to preach on a subject. And we studied in our Wednesday night Bible study, Titus chapter 2 a few weeks ago. Then we get into our Sunday morning book, and guess what the theme verse of that book is? Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Then we turn right around and what do we study? We study 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, it's the same idea time after time after time after time. We're not saved for our salvation. We're saved to work. We're cleansed so that we'll be useful to the master. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. We'll read verse 11 through 14. See if you don't think it's similar to what we just read earlier from Peter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us, the King James there says teaching us, to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself, watch this now, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, to just lay down and be happy that they're saved. To just come into the security of the fold of the great shepherd and say, well, I'm not going to hell now. All's good. I'm saved. The whole point of my Christian life is to be saved. That's not what it says. What it says is that Christ purified for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. I am purified, I am redeemed, I receive mercy so that I can proclaim and so that I can work. I am not saved for the sake of my salvation. What a selfish thing to think. What a selfish thing to think that Christ did all those things just for my salvation. I did a lesson a few weeks ago, talked about lordship salvation. We really need to get this. Never forget that Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 and 18 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What does that mean? It means he's Lord. Acts chapter 2:36 says, Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both king, Lord is the word it uses there, and Christ. So to become a Christian, to be saved, is to enter into a work, is to enter into a kingdom, is to enter into being a citizen of a Lord, and that Lord is Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, I'm purified, but not for my sake. For his. You're not in Jason's army. You're not in Rick's church. You're not in Jasmine's employ. You're not a citizenship of the kingdom of Dave Owen. You're not a citizenship for yourself. You're not Lord of your own self. We come in as good and faithful servants of Jesus. We've been purified because we need purification, because God is holy, because Jesus is pure, because Jesus is sinless. How can we represent them unless we're purified first? We cannot. The point of my salvation is making me ready for service. It's cleaning me up where I'm useful for the master. If I'm still dead in my sins, I can't be alive to Jesus Christ. Jesus redeemed us and purified us for his work. And we must be cleansed because we serve a holy and pure God. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a page or two over in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. I tell you, in studying this is a very familiar verse for me. I'll try to avoid being too direct about the language here. But if you know what a slop jar is, that's what this is about. And if that kind of makes the nose hairs curl, it should. Because the analogy Paul is making here is sin is bad. How bad? That bad. How filthy? That filthy. And we as sinners are that. We are filthy vessels, unfit for use, but God. Thank God I have been cleansed of my filth. We wouldn't imagine using a slop jar to serve dinner. You wouldn't do that. Why on earth would I think of somebody who's wallowing in their filth and sin of serving a holy God? Those two things don't make sense. The reason I'm purified, the reason I'm redeemed, the reason I receive grace is so I will be useful to the master. That's what it means in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Join me if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the master of the house, ready for every good work. If I want to be suitable for the master, if I want to be ready for good work, what do I have to do? I have to be cleansed. The point of my salvation is making me useful for the master. Yes, it has to do with my salvation. Yes, my standing justified before God has to mean that I have my sins dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. But I'm not just saved for that moment. If that were so, then God would take us straight out of the baptistry. He would take us to heaven as soon as we were forgiven. But that's not what happens, is it? We're purified because we have work to do. And we can't really be useful to the master if we're still covered in filth. So why would we continue it any longer? As Christians, our entire life, and we talked about this in Bible class, is chipping away all the things that are not Jesus. Self, pride, carnalism, idolatry, covetousness, sin, stealing, lying, adultery. Those sins are things that are against the nature of God. Those sins are things that are not the character of Christ. And to be Christ-like, to be useful to the Master, those things are filth, and I have to remove them from my life. The penalty of them has been removed. So why would I continue to make the nose hairs of Jesus curl by my filth? May it never be. There's one other phrase in Titus chapter 2 I want to deal with for just a moment. Just don't turn back there. It talks about this. It says, the grace of God teaches us. I love that phrase. The grace of God trains us. You know why that trains us? Because we learn what it is to truly give up self. We learn what it truly means to bless those who persecute you. To truly love my neighbor as myself. When I look at what Jesus did for me, when I look at what God did for me, the things that I do for God pale in comparison. Because the price that was paid for the grace of God was the blood of Jesus Christ. Whose lamb? God's lamb. You know, Nathan tells that story to King David about this man who had this one ewe lamb and he cherished it, and that mean king came and took it from him. God gave his lamb willingly. Not because he needed anything, but because I needed. He sacrificed his own will. What did Jesus say as he was about to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, let this cup pass from me, yet not as my will, but your will be done. That's what it means to remove self. That's what it means to remove what is worldly and replace it with what is spiritual. And once that I have seen that grace and I understand that grace, what is there I will not do for God? Why am I hanging on to that sin? What's God's attitude towards sin? Do I hate what he hates? Do I love what he loves? The lesson of his grace teaches me what those things are and teaches me to cleanse myself. And that takes us to Ephesians chapter 2. Because Ephesians chapter 2 is a great verse in the Bible. If you know very much about Calvinism, you've talked to someone who has thrown this verse at you as kind of a proof text for salvation by faith alone. And let me say right now that the words that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, uses here, he means every one of them, and I agree with them. There is no doubt that I am saved by grace through faith, and I'll fight anyone that says different. It's just a matter of when that salvation occurs. But there is no doubt that I am saved by grace through faith. It's the matter of when do I die to sin. And that's a Romans chapter 6 issue, and we'll have that Bible study at your leisure. So Ephesians chapter 2, though, don't overlook what he is saying here. Let's not be so concerned with fighting a doctrinal fight that we miss the point of the passage. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read from verse 4 through 10. And yes, we're going to talk about salvation by grace. Yes, there's no doubt that that is correct. Yes, there's also no doubt that I need to be saved to be saved. I need to be baptized to be saved. We're just going to assume all those things, and we're going to look at what the text says. Because what the text says is everything we've been studying so far. I'm not saved by that grace just to be saved. That's not the point. The point is not that I'm purified for my own purification's sake. I'm not going to heaven just because I can get to go to heaven. I'm purified because I'm useful for to the Master. Because there is work to be done. Because there is a kingdom to be forwarded. There is an army in which to engage. With having said all that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy... Do you know what the verses say before? That we were separated, we had no hope. Man, dead in our trespasses. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us... Let me stop right there. That's the grace that teaches us. When I understand the love of God, the grace of God, the price of God, the work of God, as Brother Rick said to us a couple of Wednesday nights ago, when I understand that, it teaches me how to behave. Okay, back to verse 4. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Amen. My salvation is on God's end. There's no doubt about that. Now, who's He going to save? Those who faithfully serve. Those who confess Jesus as Lord. Those who call on the Lord for a clear conscience through baptism. But that doesn't change the fact that I have no power to save myself. I still need the grace of God totally and completely. And that grace is extended only to those who have faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is by God. Amen to that. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for our own salvation, for laying down on the job, for saying, hallelujah, I'm saved, and y'all better get saved because I'm saved. That's not what it says, is it? We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What kind of good works? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I would suggest to you that that has to do with God's control over the history of the world. Why did He pick Abraham? Why did He send Joseph to Egypt? Why did He bring those people out of Egypt? Why did He do all those things? Because all along God knew that He was going to bless all the nations of the earth through the seed of Abraham. And to do that, He had to have this nation, He had to give him a land, He had to carry him along so that this son of David might be born and die on the cross. God did all those things. Why? Just for me to be saved? Yes, He did it for me to be saved. But more importantly, because He was going to build a kingdom that would never fail and a throne that would never go away, that Jesus Christ would be Lord and that He would have those who do good works for Him. That's the point. I'm saved by grace through faith to march in the infantry, to ride in the cavalry, to shoot the artillery, to fly over the enemy, and to be in the Lord's army. My salvation is not the point in and of itself. My salvation is so I may do the good works that God had planned all along, which is to conquer the world by proclaiming, by cleansing, by working, by doing. And if I truly understand God, and I truly understand the grace that's been extended to me, you won't be able to stop me. Christians, let us get to it. Have you been saved? Our denominational friends like to ask that question. If you in faith have been baptized confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord, the answer should and ought to be, amen, yes, I have. I have been saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, Paul tells me. That's just another verse for this lesson. I'm purified so that I can work. Fan the flame of the Spirit into a fire of zeal in your life because God loves you and Jesus gave Himself for you. Purify ourselves from sin, Christians. Walk in the light of Jesus by doing good works. I'm grateful that I am saved. I can lay my head down at night and know that if the Lord comes, what a wonderful day. Let's go now. I hope He comes this hour. I hope He comes before I get through speaking. I'm ready to go. I love Him. I want to be with Him. That's what the grace of God teaches me. And it prepares us for good works. Are you working? Are you in the Army? If you go in the Army, if you even go in the Air Force. Sorry. For those of you who are visitors, Jim Leahy was a retired Air Force, loves to say that the Air Force is the alternative to military service, which is a hilarious line. I steal from him anytime I can. And Rick and Deborah's young son, Justin, is in. And one of the things you have to do to be in the Air Force or the Army is you have to take the oath. You have to take the oath. Well, that's the same thing with Christianity. You have to take the oath. Do you believe that God sent His Son? Do you believe Jesus is that Son? Do you believe Jesus lived a sinless life, died on the cross? Do you believe God raised Him from the dead? Do you believe He ascended to heaven? If you believe all these things, you're almost there. You're close to the kingdom. Now are you ready to confess Him as your Lord? Are you willing to submit your will to His? Are you willing to come into the kingdom and to serve and to work? If you are, you can be saved and you can know with full assurance of faith the moment that God has forgiven you. Because no one who is alive to sin is alive to Jesus Christ. But when I die and I go down into Christ's death and I rise to walk in newness of life, I come up and yes, I stand justified before a holy God because of the blood of His Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. If you've never been cleansed to serve, remove the filth from your life today as we stand and we sing.